Today's message I'm entitling, Who Do You Say I Am? And I think this is a question that all of us need to be able to answer. And I hope that we'll all get a better understanding of this and how to answer this question. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, and starting at verse 13. Again, that's Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. And this is what it says. When Yeshua came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his Talmudim, his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they began to reply, Well, some say John the Immerser. Others say Eliyahu, Elijah. And still others, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then Yeshua said, But what about you? What about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And the same question I ask each one of us here today. But what about you? And that's the big question I believe that God wants to ask each one of us this very day. Who do you say that Yeshua is in your life to you? You know, the answer to that question is not as simple as some of us might think. It's really a little bit more than a simple answer. You know, some of us might say, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're the Savior. You're the Redeemer of the world. But that answer, who do you say I am, is a little bit more involved than just a short little answer like that. Because the way you respond, the things you say, how you answer this determines your and my eternal destiny and the way we are going to be living from this time forward. The answer involves life and death. Is Yeshua just a name out of history? Just like we have history books and we read about this man and this woman and all these names, is he just a name out of history? Or is it that name that stands above every other name? That wonderful name. Listen to what Simon Peter answered. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. In Hebrew, it's Atahu HaMashiach ben Elohim Chayim. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And this is the same answer that a lot of us in this room here today would give. But there's a lot more to these words than we realize. It was the Ruach, it was the Spirit of God that had revealed this truth, these words to Simon Peter. And on this rock, or on this truth, this confession of faith that is, in Yeshua as the Messiah, God would then establish his Kehilat, his congregation. And it says that even the gates of hell, Hades, would not be able to overcome it. Now, there are those who take this scripture where Yeshua says, and on this rock, on this truth, on this confession of faith, and they say that Peter became the first pope. But let me tell you that Peter was not the first pope. There may be St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. He may be thought of as the first pope. But let me tell you, he was a simple man, just like we are, regular people. There wasn't anything special about him. In fact, he denied Yeshua three times. Denied he even knew him. And even called curses down upon himself. This doesn't sound like a pope to me. He was a simple fisherman. That's all he was. But he had found the truth. He had found the truth that brought eternal life. And that's the truth that God wants each one of us here today to grasp and understand, that eternal life that's in that name of Yeshua. That's why he asked, who do you say I am? Who is Yeshua to you? Is it just a name? Is it just a person? Or is it your life, your breath, and all that you are? The Ruach, the Spirit of God, had revealed this truth to Simon Peter and to the other Talmudim, the other disciples. Yet, even with this understanding that they had, it was still a carnal knowledge. It was a fleshly knowledge. It was not yet a spiritual grasping and understanding. So as a result, we see that Simon Peter and all the other Talmudim, all the other disciples, they scattered and they ran and they, as frightened children, when the persecution and all the trials came. Doesn't sound like they truly understood what that meant. It was not a life-changing experience for them. It was still a fleshly knowledge. And Peter and the others, they saw all the mighty works of Yeshua. They saw all of his miracles. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick, feed the multitudes. They saw him walk on water, command nature. They saw him drive out demons, yet they continue to walk in the flesh. Now I'm sure you're thinking, well, if I would have been there and I would have been with Yeshua, I wouldn't have turned out like that. I wouldn't have denied him and I wouldn't have doubted him. I would have been strong and mighty in the Lord and his Spirit. That's right. We'd be all running around like chickens with our heads cut off, scared. Because the one that we looked up to, who we thought was the promised one, that we thought was the Messiah, was crucified as a criminal on that tree. They continue to walk in their flesh and in their carnality. And at the first instance of persecution and trials, they ran and they hid in shame. They had also confessed, all of them, that Yeshua was the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the HaMashiach ben Elohim Chaim. They confessed that. And that's why the answer to this question, what about you? What about you? It's not so simple. It's not a simple question. You know, in the same chapter of Matthew, after Yeshua had predicted his death, we read in verse 22, and you can see that. It says here, Peter took him aside. I can just see this. Peter, he really thinks he knows what he's doing. So he takes Yeshua aside. And you know, let me explain to you, Yeshua, you know, how it's supposed to be and what's really happening, what's really going on. Like we have to explain or teach or show the Messiah. So Peter took him aside. And it says here, he began to rebuke him. Wow. Peter began to rebuke Yeshua, the Son of the Living God, the Messiah, our Redeemer. And he says here, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Yeshua turned and said to Peter, now get this, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. Get behind me, Satan. Because Yeshua realized that Peter was in the flesh. He was still being controlled by the carnality of his nature. He did not yet have that personal relationship that would not come until the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God, would come and fill his life. And he goes on to say, "You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Again, this was the same Peter just a few verses earlier, who professed that you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the Atahu HaMashiach ben Elohim Chaim. And now, a few verses later, he's rebuking Yeshua. Wow. And Peter exhibited here a double-minded personality. It says in the book of Yaakov, James chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And here we see that Satan was using Simon Peter here, speaking into his ear. That's why I said this was just a carnal, a fleshly, or earthly knowledge, and it was not yet a spiritual grasping. It was not a life-transforming experience that Simon Peter went through. And you see churches on Sunday filled with people. I mean, you can go to a Baptist church or you can go to different Methodist churches and you can see every seat full. It's full of people. But how many of them have a spiritual grasping and understanding what it means when Yeshua says, who do you say I am? Who is Yeshua? Is he really the Almighty One who raised the dead, healed the sick? Is he really the one that can deliver you and set you free, bring cleansing and hope and victory in your life? And I don't want to sound terrible and mean, but I just believe in my heart that if Yeshua was to return on a Sunday during church services, that probably at least 3/4 of the churches wouldn't even be emptied. Or even in churches, most of the seats would still be full, only handfuls here and there. Because it takes more than just an earthly knowledge. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I believe in Yeshua. Yeah, I read the Bible, you know, a couple of times a year. And, you know, it's more. Our relationship with Yeshua has to be more and more. And we have to be seeking Him more and more. And desiring Him more and more. And wanting Him more and more. We need to have that hunger and that thirst for the kingdom of God. We have to be different. We have to stand out. There's a difference between knowing Yeshua as, well, saying that He is who He is, but knowing it and believing it in your heart is a different matter, totally. Even after His resurrection, Yeshua's Talmudim, His disciples, doubted who He was. They doubted that He was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the HaMashiach ben Elohim Chaim. And we read in Luke chapter 24, you can turn with me to Luke 24, starting in verse 36. Luke 24:36 says, while they were still talking about this, Yeshua Himself stood among them and said to them, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And they were startled, and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. So did they really believe He was resurrected? Did they really believe that He was who He said He was? So He appears in front of them, and saying the typical Hebrew greeting, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And they about jump out of their shoes, or their sandals, frightened to death, scared. Oh, I didn't really think you meant you were going to come and resurrect. And I thought those were just things you were saying. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts still rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. In verse 45, we see that it was necessary for Yeshua to open their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He explained to them the plan of God and salvation and what God would expect from each of them. They were to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in Yeshua's name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. They were to be witnesses to all these things. Yet again, they were still operating in their carnality, still in the flesh. And Yeshua told them they needed to be clothed from power on high. He was saying, you need the Spirit of God in your life. You need the Ruach HaKodesh, that Spirit, to come into you, to empower you, to transform you, to make you into new creations in the Messiah. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things are gone, and the new has come. Let me tell you, that needs to speak of your life. If you are in the Messiah, Yeshua, the old person has to die. It needs to be gone. You can't be the same. If you receive the Lord and you're exactly the same now as you were that day you received the Lord, you haven't changed. You haven't died to yourself. Let me tell you, I doubt that you're even saved. I doubt that you even believe. There has to be a transformation. In my life, it was instantaneous transformation. I wasn't the same anymore. I went from darkness to light. There was a major change in my life. And that needs to take place in every life. If you're still struggling in areas of your life, you need to give it all to God. You need to be praying for the power of the Spirit of God to come into your life, to cleanse you, to heal you, to mold you into that noble vessel that He wants you to be. Don't be satisfied with the way you are. You need to be changed. You need to be different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Yeshua said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. I believe that when you receive the Lord in your life, as you receive Him, accept Him as your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, I believe at that point that the Spirit of God comes into your life. Now, there are some people who believe that you receive the Lord and some other time later you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life when you accept Yeshua into your life. That's when the Spirit of God comes into you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're operating in the fullness of that, because we still have the flesh. We still have carnality, and there's a working through that takes place, but at least there needs to be that yielding of your life to the Spirit of God. Yield to Him so that He can change you and make you different. So we should be praying more and more for God's Spirit to fill us more and more, so there's more of Him and less of us, because us is yuck, but more of Him is yuck. Yep. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. It was not until that day of Shavuot or Pentecost that the Talmudim, His disciples, were changed and they were transformed when the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of the living God, came and rested upon each of them. And it says that they were filled with the Spirit of God. At that point, they were completely under the control of the Spirit. Their words were now His words. Something changed their lives. They were no longer ordinary people, no longer average people. They became men and women of God, instruments of His power. Their defeat turned to victory. Doubts and fears turned to assurances, joy and faith. They were full of hope and God's peace in their life. They turned the world upside down. These handful, the whole world was turned upside down. Cowardly Simon Peter, who denied Yeshua three times, became the bold Peter of Shavuot, who preached fearlessly, and we saw 3,000 people saved. And they possessed a strange new quality of life, of power, which turned the world upside down, transformed the world. and without the Holy Spirit, without living a Spirit-filled and empowered and controlled life, our answer to Yeshua's question will be one of carnality, not of a life-changing experience and transformation. So again, the answer is not so simple, and it's much more involved than we think, because it involves our eternal destiny. The way we think, the way we act, the way we live, it involves principles of life and death, and only Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, His breath, can transform us to go beyond the carnal answers to reach the spiritual heights of understanding to what those words really mean, that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, because it means commitment, giving our life over to God. Yeshua made that answer much clearer to both Simon Peter and us as well in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 16, 24. After asking that question, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And after Peter responded that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and then a few verses later, after Peter's rebuke and Yeshua's chastisement, Yeshua gave us the true meaning behind that question and its answer, because it involved denial, commitment, and life. And we read in Matthew 16, 24 these words. Then Yeshua said to his Talmudim, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory and in His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done." Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran theologian who was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp, and then later he was shot by the Nazis at age 39 years old. This was just before the close of World War II. And he wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, that there is no cheap grace. There is no cheap grace. No primrose path to heaven. And he said, to follow Yeshua is to say no to oneself. It is a placing of the will of God above our own feelings, our own desires, our own urges. To take up one's cross is to bear the instrument of one's own death. For as Bonhoeffer put it, when Messiah calls a man, he bids him come and die. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with the Messiah, and I no longer live, but it's the Messiah who lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That scripture, that one verse is powerful. In fact, this is one of the very first verses I memorized as a new believer. Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified, or I am crucified. I died with the Messiah. I no longer live. It's Him now who lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live in this flesh, I live it by faith now in the Son of God, because He loved me and He died for me. Such an important scripture to know. So know the answer to that question, but what about you? Who do I say I am? It's not a simple one. It's an answer that takes the Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God, to live in us and through us. It means denial, and it means even death. But let me tell you that the rewards are so great if you die to your flesh and let the Spirit of God take over in your life. He'll reward you according to what you have done when he returns. And we will all receive that crown of life that's promised to us. I'm looking forward to my crown. Anyone else, you looking forward to that crown that he has prepared for us? Thank you, Lord. So again, who is Yeshua to you? Who is he to you? And who are you to Yeshua? It goes both ways. And the answer is really a matter of life and death. Life in Yeshua and death to ourselves. Life through the Spirit and death to the flesh. What do you need to die to? And what do you need to give to the Lord? You need to be thinking about that. Lord, what is it in my life that I need to die to, get rid of, remove from my life? What do I need to hand over to you, Lord? What do we need to lay at the feet of the Messiah? What things? What's keeping you from giving your all to God? What's preventing you? What's holding you back from just totally giving your life over to God? What is it? I'm going to have Russell, if you can put the next slide on. Because in a minute I want to sing this song with you all. Okay, in a moment. The great missionary, Hudson Taylor. He lived in China for 51 years. And he founded the China Inland Mission. If you ever read about Hudson Taylor, it's an amazing story of a man who dedicated his whole life to reaching the lost in China. He even went to the point where he dressed like the Chinese, even his hair and a ponytail, everything, so he would be just like them, so he could be among them, so he can serve them. Through the China Inland Mission, they built missions all over China, brought many more missionaries. And if you look from that time until now, that's probably 1 million people have been saved through his work in China. He's well known for coining the phrase exchanged life, or the exchanged life. So what does this mean, this exchanged life? It's where you and I, it's where we exchange our sin for his salvation, our weakness for his strength, our defeat for his victory, our fallenness for his glory, our despair for his hope, our death for eternal life. You can just go on and on. And let me tell you, we're getting the best part of the bargain, because we're giving the Lord all our junk, and he's given us all the goodness and the blessings. Thank you, Lord. It would seem like it's not a fair deal, but it wasn't fair that Yeshua died on that tree for you and me. But he was willing to do that and take all of our sins and sicknesses upon himself, and by his stripes we're healed. Thank you, Lord. It has to do with our identity in the Messiah, this exchanged life. That is, who do we identify with? Do we identify with the world or the creator of the world? It's death to the old man and life to the new man. He must increase and I must decrease. People, He must increase in your life and you must decrease. Thank you, Lord. So who do you say Yeshua is? And you need to be thinking about this during the week. Who do you say Yeshua? Who is Yeshua to you? A name out of history? Or is he the life-changing force that will transform you into a new creation experience? And let me tell you, it is a matter of life and death that you know the answer to this. Life in Yeshua and death to ourselves. And life in Yeshua is L'chaim be'Yeshua. Life in Yeshua. There is life in the Messiah, Yeshua. Stand with me, please. I don't know how many of you know this song. It's an old song. We used to sing this a lot in the early Messianic, modern Messianic movement. We don't hear it much anymore. Do you know this song, Bob? Even Bob doesn't know this song. Thank you, Lord. So you can just follow along with me, all right? But it's beautiful words. There's a Hebrew verse and two English verses. L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. U'ahavoti, u'ahevoti, hallelujah. U'ahavoti, u'ahevoti, Yeshua. To life in Yeshua, hallelujah. To life in Yeshua, hallelujah. He loved me and he loves me, hallelujah. Go back, please. Go back, please. No, you, Russell, don't go ahead before it's over. He loved me and he loves me. Hallelujah. You can go now. Lord, take my life and let it be wholly yielded, Lord, unto Thee. Lord, take my life and let it be wholly yielded, Lord, unto Thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Thy Spirit let me be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where did you go? Anyway.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wholly yielded, Lord, unto Thee. This song is teaching us that there's life in Yeshua, that He loved you and He still loves you. And this last verse, Lord, take my life. This is what we need to be praying. Lord, take my life and let it be wholly yielded, completely yielded, totally yielded to the Lord. In your spirit, let me be, Lord, wholly yielded unto you. Let this be your song. Let this be your prayer. Let this be a reality in your life. Who is Yeshua to you? Who is he to you? It's a matter of life and death. Let him take your life and be wholly yielded unto him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Yeshua, it's my prayer that...